Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19 through 34, still included in the Sermon on the Mount. So as you picture Jesus, the Good Shepherd, picture him up on the mountainside, teaching his disciples and those of the least of these that were gathered around him. So let us read verses 19 through 34 of chapter 6. This is right after Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth or mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. May God bless our hearing and our receiving of these holy words. Now, as I always do, I will invite, did you hear any words that particularly stood out for you, Sharon? Can any of you, by worrying, add 1 hour to your span of life? Lily?
Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. That's a paraphrase. And a song. Shannon? Strive first for the kingdom of God. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, as I mentioned, N.T. Wright introduced us to his definition of Jesus' Beatitudes, identifying those living the good life, trusting in the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Trust God and trust in the good life God intends, and stop worrying so much. Now, some things in life are worth worrying about if you want to live a good life, but too many of our worries do not build a good life. Is there anyone today who isn't at least a little worried about the future? I thought I'd share Jesus' message for us today from the Message Bible, a modern interpretation. So, in the Message Bible, our scripture says, "Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have." Eugene Peterson had that translation or interpretation for us. Now, Jesus has good insights into the human condition. How many people start off thinking that money would be a good tool for reaching a sense of well-being, but end up more focused on the tool, or idol as it becomes, and finding themselves actually much further from a sense of well-being than when they first began? How many of us are feeling like someone has stolen our sense of well-being? There are days. But so often, we put so much of our focus on accumulating more stuff, holding on to the stuff we have earned, that we lose focus on the stuff that comes free in relationships, in the nature around us, in reading the Bible, in giving to others. Also, sunsets, babies' smiles, hugs, moments of silence and prayer. Now, when we look at our scripture today, we need to keep in mind that it is part of the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus offers us an alternative to the Jewish law, or rather, a completion, as Jesus said. An alternative to a life of don'ts. Jesus points us more toward do's and even be's. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemies. Jesus does have some do nots, but his focus is on setting us free from those simple do nots and ought tos and setting us free to live. Jesus wants us to build a life of joy and peace and hope and love, a life that builds a true sense of well-being. the good life, as N.T. Wright describes it. We were created by God for life in relationship with God and caring relationship with God's people and God's creation. How many feel that the law is designed to set us free rather than hold us back? We get confused about that at times, though. Freedom to live. That is where true joy is found, and that's what the law points us toward, which Jesus completed. Joy rather than burdens, as Jesus explained, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." That's what Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is all about, and that's what our scripture today is all about, though we sometimes misunderstand. As Dr. Bob Moorhead wrote, see if you can relate to this, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We've done larger things, but not better things. We've conquered the atom, but not our prejudice. These are the times of fast foods and slow digestion. These are times of steep profits and shallow relationships. You see, we humans want to build a good life in the world and into eternity, and yet we continue to turn toward the wrong sources to find that life. There is only one true source of true life. When Jesus says, you cannot serve God and wealth, he uses the Greek word mammonas, which refers to the pagan god of worldly possessions, property, money, gain, and success. There are other Greek words that mean money, but Jesus used the name of a god that was actually worshipped. So I think it's pretty clear that Jesus was not saying that money and possessions are the problem in themselves, but the spiritual force of mammonas or mammon that attracts and captures our hearts, our minds, and even our imaginations, corrupting them with the need to gather, to save, to hoard, and to protect. It is this spiritual force that enslaves political systems, economic systems, and even religious and social systems, causing them to become obsessed with the need to control everything in life, and thus ending up dominating, using, and destroying people. Mammonas is a god of scarcity that focuses on fear that there will not be enough, and we must grab for all that we can before it's gone. We must grab for all the oil in the world, all the water, all the home, all the car, all the clothes, all the electronics, all the guitars, all the toys for the children and grandchildren. Mammon can never get enough. Now, there are legitimate worries. We must consider the single mother who responds to this scripture. Yeah, right. It's a week before payday, and I've got just enough money to buy bread and peanut butter to eat for a week, but nothing left to buy a jacket for my kid, and it's snowing outside, and I'm not supposed to worry? Get real. We do need to worry about her and all the other single mothers and other families falling further and further behind the poverty line. Of course, the already unhoused folks. We do need to worry about people on fixed incomes. Some of us can relate, who are getting beaten down by rising health care costs. We do need to worry about people in third world countries who have had their aid packages and medical treatments held up and their missionaries called back, who will have their orphans and widows forgotten as we pull back on our giving and try to protect our scarce resources in our privileged society. But for ourselves, Jesus has been telling us all along that God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a God of abundance. Just look at the lilies of the field, Jesus says. Just look at the birds of the air. Do they have to worry about tomorrow? No. God took care of them yesterday. God is taking care of them today. God will take care of them tomorrow. The God of the Beatitudes has enough blessings for the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, the persecuted. God has enough blessings for you to build a life, for you to build the good life, filled with joy and peace and love and hope, following that good shepherd. So can you build a life that is worry-free? I hope not. There are too many problems, too many people hurting in our community and our world, but yes, you can build a life that is free from worrying about yourself. What you will eat, or what you will drink, or what you will wear. And that's what God wants for you today, to build a life upon a foundation of trust. Trust that you can leave yesterday behind, that you can trust tomorrow into God's hands, that you can trust that you can live for today and strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus' words. That is the life God wants for you. The good life, right here on earth, and then on into eternity. That's a promise. So our take-home question for today, what can you do to find the good life right here in Grand Junction? Will you pray with me? Blessed God, we thank you for your presence here among us, leading us forward as a good shepherd, guiding us, picking us up when we fall, when we get lost, loving us, accepting us just the way we are, but loving us so much that you want more for us. You want the good life for us. And you forgive us so we can leave the past behind and live for you today in hopes for tomorrow. Let us walk with you every step of the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.